T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bail reform has been a national movement for the past several years, and with prisoners now being released from jails because of COVID-19, new problems have started to surface. And joining me now is Jeff Clayton, the executive director of the American Bail Coalition. So, Jeff, tell us about the no-cash bail system, and what is the whole purpose of bail reform?
Well, in California, the issue was that there was concern that some low-level offenders, some poor people, were not able to afford bail and unnecessarily languished in jail. The system that replaced it is now a system based on a computer algorithm that's going to allow the state of California for the first time to really get into the business of denying bail. So, but really the genesis was, you know, people are too poor to afford their bail, and that's unfair, and we should do something about that.
I know the last time we talked, bail reform was kind of put on hold in California. What has changed?
Well, it passed, but it is pending a referendum drive, and so it is going to be on the ballot in November, and the voters are going to get to vote for whether they like the solution to the problem or not.
Well, the people voted for the continued use of the death penalty in California, but Governor Newsom overturned that, so who knows what the state legislature will do?
Yeah, well, the California legislature seems to do whatever they seem to want to do.
Exactly. Now, with the COVID-19 health concerns, California has been releasing hundreds of prisoners. Even taking the COVID-19 health risks into account, is the wholesale release of inmates from jail, is that a good idea?
I don't think so. I think California went a little bit too far in a couple of different ways. One was the no money bail concept in general, that we're just going to draw out only but the most serious offenses and attempt to deprive judges' jurisdiction of, you know, imposing bail. And then the other thing is I think that the idea that we had to have a statewide policy. I mean, I think local judges could have and should have been able to handle it, which is ultimately why the California Court of Appeals ruled that the Chief Justice's order that was approved by the Judicial Council to allow for the wholesale releases, in fact, did not overrule judicial discretion, and that at the end of the day, judges are the ones that decide, you know, bail, and regardless whether there's a COVID or not.
Now, is the public safety an actual legitimate concern when considering the release of these people that have been charged with crimes?
I think so, and I think there's really two themes we saw during the COVID. One was that other federal judges and state Supreme Courts were saying, wait a minute, there has to be some balancing of public safety. Certainly that's what happened down in Texas and certainly the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And the other thing I think is that before the COVID, the bail reformers were pushing for really the Senate Bill 10, computerized justice, denying bail type of a system, with also the supervision of many defendants who wouldn't have to post bail. And during the COVID, the entire debate pivoted to simply, we should just release people, regardless whether they're supervised or bail bondsmen or watching them or anything like that.
So do you think just letting these prisoners out of jail, do you think that will continue, or do you think it will change once the COVID-19 pandemic goes away?
We don't know. I mean, I think what we're going to find out is what happened during all of this, and we just don't know. I mean, really, what I've heard from many sheriffs is that the criminal justice system, for the large part, is pretty much shut down. And so we don't know what's happened. We don't know, you know, whether people are going to appear. Certainly, you know, we don't know if people have fled, if people have moved. We just don't know the long-term impacts, and I think it'll be at least 6 months before we do.
Now, people that are released on their own personal recognizance, a personal recognizance bond, are they more likely to offend and return to jail?
It just depends on the person or the severity of the crime. What we know is that history repeats itself. So, in studies, we've shown that if you start to release repeat or violent offenders on their own personal recognizance, the odds of them committing a new crime go up substantially.
As these people are released from jail, are failure to appear rates expected to rise in courts once the courts get back into session?
We would think so, and right now, obviously, there's no court, so it's pretty easy to pick up all the charges you want. You don't have to appear because there's no court, and that's been the problem. That's why the California Supreme Court ultimately implemented the no bail order in the first place, not because of the threat to the prisoners, but because they simply couldn't run the court system anymore.
COVID-19 has destroyed the budgets of virtually every jurisdiction in the country. How will this affect bail reform and the bail reform efforts that are either in place or being considered?
Well, I think there's really two components of costs that are going to be under scrutiny. One is, should we use these pretrial risk assessment tools, which the NAACP and the ACLU say we should not use, and is that going to be worth the money? And then the second thing is, are we going to continue getting into the business of supervising the innocent, right? I mean, the whole argument is that if you're innocent, you shouldn't have to face the consequences of a conviction. Well, then why should we have the state paying to supervise people that we're going to presume innocent? So I think those two issues are going to be on the table as budgets tighten at both the state and local level.
Now, you've mentioned pretrial risk assessment. Tell us what exactly, go into more detail of what exactly pretrial risk assessment is.
Exactly. So Senate Bill 10 in California will require a statewide pretrial risk assessment tool, which is an algorithm that will be built in California to score people high, medium, and low risk. And the way Senate Bill 10 is set up is that if you're high risk, you're going to jail and you're not getting out regardless of whether bail or innocence or anything like that. If you're medium risk, you're going to get out and be supervised by a local pretrial services agency, like being on probation prior to conviction. And then if you're low risk under California's pretrial risk algorithm, you're going to get out in your own recognizance and go home. And so that's the system that's going to be set up under Senate Bill 10 if it becomes law.
Now, we've had some reports here in California that only low-level offenders are being released due to COVID-19, but we've also heard cases where some higher-level offenders have slipped through the cracks. Is that going to be a problem?
I think it is, and I think if you look at just the charges on the bail schedule, there are nothing but the highest of charges, and I think, you know, we've seen the main thing that we've seen repeat of is carjackings, violent carjackings over and over and over and over again, and certainly there's a lot of violent crimes that are not on the list, so it's definitely been a problem.
You are the executive director of the American Bail Coalition, and the American Bail Coalition is against bail reform. Why is that?
Well, we think Senate Bill 10 goes too far by eliminating bail as an option for judges. And certainly we think bail has been and should remain a constitutional right in California, whether there's, you know, commercial bail bondsmen involved or not. Obviously, we think we do a good job. So I think that's the main concern, is that we've taken this from a concern that there's some low-level folks in jail that can't afford bail to a wholesale reform that really doesn't make sense.
And those that are against bail reform, what can they do to voice their opposition to Senate Bill 10?
Well, I think just follow the campaign going into the fall. The campaign should, you know, have a launch here within the next month or two, and just pay attention to the arguments on both sides and vote your conscience in November.
And where can we find more information about the American Bail Coalition and bail reform in general?
Go to ambailcoalition.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter.
Okay, Jeffrey Clayton, Executive Director of the American Bail Coalition, and we've been talking about bail reform and SB 10, which will be up before voters come November. So thanks once again for joining me today, Jeff. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks again. Have a good day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.